Welcome once again to Saturday Java with Jason. I am Jason Coffee Man. This is where we meet with guests, drink coffee, and just have a great conversation.
We are here with Eliana De Jesus Elliott. She was a paralegal. Then she went on to a construction company. And now she works freelance VA. She's really into the podcast management. Podcast strategy. So I think we're really gonna have a good one on this because I know a lot of my guests really do have a problem with that. So I'm gonna turn the time over to her right now and she can give you an introduction of exactly who she is and what she does.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, thanks for having me. Like you said, my name is Eliana. I am from Florida. I'm a mom, hockey mom. I'm a wife. Like you said, I was a paralegal for over 20 years. Then I transitioned into construction, not by choice. And I've been listening to podcasts since probably 2015, 2016. And I jumped into podcasts, VA management, things like that in 2019, right before COVID. And then from there transitioned, like I said, into management. And then I've been doing specific podcast strategy for about almost 2 years now.
Okay, and I've been on my podcast now since about April, and I have about 37 episodes out there right now, and I know a lot of my guests probably suffering through the same thing I am, which is you're putting all this work out, doing hours of, you know, recording, editing, social media, and you're not being found. What can they do? What can I do? What can everybody do differently to be found?
So there's a few things. First, I'd say is make sure that you have goals for what it is that you're trying to accomplish, so you know if you're hitting those benchmarks or not. Second, make sure that you know what your definition of success as far as your podcast goes. So a lot of people tend to compare their podcasts as a beginning podcaster to podcasts like Joe Rogan and Rich Eisen and people who already have platforms and have huge teams of people for promoting, marketing, editing, visuals, you know, all that stuff when you're trying to do it as a one-man show. So just make sure that, you know, for you, it could be as simple as making sure that you upload a podcast every single month or every single week or however long you want to do it. And as long as you keep doing that, that's your definition of success. Now, as far as promotion goes, make sure that your podcast is the descriptions, the name, the title, all of that is SEO optimized. Podcasts, whether you're doing audio or whether you're doing them on video on YouTube, both of those platforms are searchable on Google. So if people are searching for specific topics that you cover, make sure you put those keywords into your descriptions, your show notes, your title, so that when people type those things in, they'll be able to find your podcast. The thing with podcasting that a lot of people that frustrates a lot of people is that it's not a quick thing. Like you hear about podcasters that go viral and that's not really a thing. It's like a drop in the bucket, like a drop in the ocean, the people who go viral. For the most part, a podcast is long form content. So you have to wait it out a little bit, like usually 6 months to a year, if not longer, depending on your topic, depending how flooded the market is with the topic that you're particularly speaking to, depending on whether or not the people that you're speaking to are searching for those things and what they're searching for. So you just got to hang in there. I know in 2021 or 2022, I read a stat that said that only a third of all podcasts that start get past 10 episodes. So the fact that you're at 30 something is great and you didn't quit. You kept going and you've kept going. So just keep out there, and eventually the people that need to find you are going to find you.
Now, there's people out there that will always be the negative people. And I had to deal with one of those. I had them on. They gave me a bad review, said something snarky to me. I took some time off, which I know I should not have. But it's okay to take a little bit of time off. Yeah, it's going to be a slow period. But you cannot listen to those people out there who say you can't or you shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
What do you say to those people that are out there and they did take a break, number one, and so they had to deal with that? And then second part of the question is, what would you say to somebody that is a naysayer, that's always a negative, always talking down to the people that are just beginning?
Yeah. So one of my things with strategy, I'm a huge proponent of, is self-care and mindset. So I talk about this all the time. It's totally fine to take a break. It's totally fine to take care of your mental health and make sure that you're not overwhelmed, you're not burnt out. And if you need to take a break, don't feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up. Don't feel like you're doing something wrong because you decided to take a break. If you can't handle it in the moment, perfectly fine to take a step back, reassess, look at, you know, your goals, your mission, why you're doing it for, and, you know, like I said, reassess and come back stronger when you come back to it. As far as what I would say to the naysayers, they're everywhere. I mean, it's not something that is exclusive to podcasting. It's a fact of life. There's people that suck out there, and they're always going to suck. There's people out there that they will talk down to you because you're doing something they're not willing to do. So you're putting a message out there. You're putting your voice out there. You're putting who you are out there. And a lot of people are threatened by that. And so my take on those people would be, you know, yeah, maybe you didn't like the way it went, but that doesn't mean that you need to retaliate because they're doing something that you're not. And for the people who are on the receiving end of that negativity, you know, just Taylor Swift it, shake it off. You know, don't worry about what they said or what they didn't say or the review they left or anything like that, because 9 times out of 10, people's negative thoughts are a projection of them. It has nothing to do with you. Them feeling like they need to defend themselves by belittling you and saying that you're not doing this right, or you should have done this, or you're not, you know, you shouldn't do podcasting. You shouldn't talk on a podcast. You have no business doing that. They don't know where you're coming from. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you're trying to talk about. And so just keep always in the back of your mind that you are talking to a specific person, you are helping a specific person, and that person just wasn't it.
Another thing I heard, I forgot who I heard it from, but they said a lot of the people that talk down to you or are mean to you is because you're doing something that they're not. So it's absolutely kind of a jealousy issue.
Yeah, absolutely. You are showing them that something is possible, and maybe they've wanted to do podcasting and they were just never brave enough to do it. And you're showing them that it can be done. And so a lot of people don't like discomfort. They don't like sitting somewhere in negative feelings and being, you know, being proven that someone else is doing it when they don't want to do it. They don't want to be uncomfortable. And just some people just being reminded that it's possible. You can do basically everything and anything you set your mind to, just makes people uncomfortable.
Okay, now that we got past that, so now the person that we just talked down to is mm-hmm. back in their seat.
Yep.
Now let's talk about actually the podcast itself. Yep. Now, it's better, I was told, it's better to be on every single podcasting site out there, the podcasts for Google.
The platforms?
Yeah, the CastBox, the iTunes, all that. It's better to yep. be out there. The more yep. places you are out there. Mm-hmm. And what do you say about being on YouTube, though? because a lot of things I have read are going back and forth. Some say YouTube is good for, some are saying YouTube is bad. What is your take on that?
So for me, so Google Podcasts is actually going away and going into YouTube Music. So all those podcasts that are on Google Podcasts are shifting to YouTube. In, I believe, February or March, everything's transferring over to YouTube. Google Podcasts is going away. I think podcasts and YouTube are a great partnership. And I say that because both forms are good for long form content. They're good for nurturing content. They're both search engines. So usually I know for myself, when I'm trying to learn how to do something, the first place I go to is YouTube. And then if I find the stuff on YouTube and I want to get more into it, I look for podcasts that talk about whatever it is that I'm trying to learn. The majority of my VA and my freelance stuff that I learned and editing, I learned through YouTube and podcasts. So it's a great learning tool, both. I think a lot of people have hangups with the video part of YouTube. And what I found is that a lot of people are uploading their audios to YouTube with a still shot of like their title page or their cover art and just putting the audio behind it and not necessarily go on video, but it's still on the searchable, the ability to search is still on YouTube. So even though you don't have your face on there, you're still able to be searched on YouTube when people are searching on there. So that's a great tool and they go hand in hand. You don't have to put videos up if you don't want to. I mean, it's a great option to do so because it helps people get to know not just your voice, but also your face, which makes people trust you more and listen more. And you seem more like an authority in whatever you're talking about when you put your face on camera and people can see you, they can relate to you as opposed to just a voice in their ears. So for me, I think it's a great option. I don't know if it's for everyone, but I think if you want to do both, I think it's a great, great idea.
What about being on for the social media part? Would you say to be on as much as you can, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, the LinkedIn, or would you say that for the podcast you're running, it depends on what your niche is?
So it doesn't really depend on niche. The beauty about podcasts, whether you do audio or you do YouTube or you do both, you can take that same content and repurpose it dozens of ways. So you can take one podcast and turn it into a blog. You can turn it into an email newsletter if that's your thing. You can clip different parts of your video or your audio and put it on Instagram, put it on LinkedIn, put it on Facebook, put it on TikTok, put it on Twitter. You can take quotes and put them all throughout different ones. You can take one of your episodes and a few episodes down the line, expand on that one episode. You can have people come on and ask you questions about prior episodes. You can have people come on and talk about how they felt about this episode that you did or things that they want you to talk more about. So one piece of content, such as a podcast or a video, can be multiple things to where you're not, because a lot of the things people get is burnout trying to not only create the podcast, but also all the socials that go with it. And when you do a podcast and you repurpose the content properly, one 20-minute podcast can garner you an entire month's worth of content just from that one 20-minute conversation or that one 20-minute podcast.
And when you do that, the people that see it on Facebook might not see that same content on TikTok or Twitter. So you can use that. And you're going to get, if you put it six different places, each one sees 100 people. Out of those 100 people, maybe one or two might be repeat.
Yeah. And the thing with content like that is that people need to hear the same thing multiple times. So it doesn't matter if you take the same audio clip and you post it on all six platforms, not the same people are going to see it in each platform. So you can just take one piece of content, repurpose it throughout everything, then take another piece of content, repurpose that, and just do that throughout all your social media. And you're going to hit different people because everybody has a different place where they like to hang out. Some people are TikTokers. Some people like Facebook more. Some people like Instagram. Some people like LinkedIn. If you're in, and that's why being on all the platforms works, because not all the platforms show all of your stuff to all of your viewers. Not all the platforms show all your stuff to different people. So the more places you're in, the more likely you are to have more people see your stuff.
What about the people out there who do look at the bigger ones and say, look, these guys are getting 2, 3, 4,000 views. I'm getting 50, 60. So they're getting discouraged because their stuff isn't going viral.
I would say forget about going viral. It's very difficult to go viral. Very, very difficult to go viral. The thing you have to remember is that 9 times out of 10, a lot of people who have high view counts are probably paying for ads. Some of their viewers, not all of them, but some of their viewers could be paid viewers. There's a thing where you can actually pay to have people view your stuff. So they're not actual viewers, they're paid to say that they're viewers. So, and a lot of times these people with 4,000, 5,000 viral, they already had a platform. They're influencers, or, you know, they're promoters, or they're celebrities, or, you know, whatever that is. They've been in the field. They have bankroll. They have the money to hire teams of people to market, to promote, to do all of these things. Most podcasters, like you and I, don't have that bankroll. We don't have that backing. We don't have the ability to hire a team of 5, 10 people to market our stuff weekly, to promote our things quickly. We're doing everything on our own. So we're our own, you know, we're recording, we're editing, we're publishing, we're promoting, we're marketing, we're doing all of that ourselves. So that goes back to making sure you know what your definition of success is, making sure you know that success for you isn't 4,000, 5,000 downloads. It's being consistent in your content creation and in getting your name out there. Because eventually you're going to be able to get to those numbers. It's just not going to be something that's going to be as fast as someone who has a team of people behind them.
Do you think that it's better to work for people that don't have the money to work at it and get it organically, what it's called when you don't advertise?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's better to do the paid advertising, the paid subscriptions, and get the people out there that don't have the money kind of put a little bit away and call it an investment? What would you do?
I think it depends on what your, this is where the niche comes in. It depends on what your purpose is, what your niche is. If you're like a coach or someone who has, you know, products and services and courses that you're selling, then I wouldn't go with ads because you can use the podcast as your own ad source to get your name out there. I think if you have the bankroll and you have the ability to do ads, you certainly could. I'm not against them. I do think that sometimes with ads, you tend to attract not necessarily the right people that are a fit for what you're doing or what your message is, because you're attracting all kinds of people because that's how the ads work. They attract more people. So it just depends on what your purpose is, what your focus is as far as what you're doing with your podcast. And you have to be clear with why you're getting the ads and why you want to monetize it. Because there's several ways that you can monetize your podcast, and you don't have to have a big audience to do that. You know, you can do collaborations. You can do, like I said, put your own products in ads within your own podcast and promote your own things. You can guest on other people's podcasts. And, you know, you can, guys can swap and both of you have different audiences. You can do, you know, paid podcasts like Patreon and things like that. You can have a paywall for your older episodes, depending on how much content you have. So there's several different ways that you can do it. And if you have the money to do ads, sure, if that's which way you want to go, you just need to make sure that you know what your purpose is in using those ads and what you want to accomplish when you get those ads, like what the end goal is before you jump into ads.
Okay, that's something I really want to talk to you about too, is the monetization for your podcast. There's you can monetize it. I know that Spotify offers it.
Yeah.
You can also do the YouTube where they pay you, I believe it's 1,000 subscribers with X amount of watch time. I believe it's 4,000 hours. You could become an affiliate marketer.
Yeah.
Or you can do Patreon. Can you kind of break down what the difference is between monetizing, affiliate, and Patreon?
Okay. So monetizing would be, they're all sources of monetizing, but in monetizing, you fit in affiliates, you fit in ads, you fit in products, Patreon, all that is part of monetization. So affiliate would be if, let's say, and we all do this, but we all do it for free. So how many times have you, has somebody that you know said, hey, I'm looking for this type of product, or I'm looking for, like, I need a new phone, or, you know, whatever, with everything that you like. And you're like, oh, I just bought this, whatever it is, and you promote it. So with affiliate marketing, what you're doing is someone is paying you to promote their product. So basically what McDonald's does, what everybody on commercials, that's affiliate marketing. Whoever put, like the Super Bowl ads, whoever put those ads in there, they're paying for those ads so that they're being marketed and people go to that stuff. So as an affiliate marketer, you get those bonuses by promoting someone else's things. And usually it's like a, sometimes it's a trade-off. So sometimes you'll be an affiliate marketer for someone and they'll be for you as well. Kind of like a product swap kind of thing. Sometimes they'll give you, you know, a percentage of the sales that you make. If they come on your podcast and you're an affiliate for them, they'll give you a percentage of the sales they make based on you being on their podcast or you promoting on their podcast. And you can make money that way. And then with Patreon, Patreon is a service where you can put private your podcast, certain episodes. Sometimes people like to do Q&As. They like to do extra behind the scenes, things like that. And you put them behind what's called a paywall. And so your regular listeners will have access to the free podcast episodes. And then the people who pay, which it's anywhere between, I think it's like $5, and I don't know how high it goes. There's different tiers. And so depending on which tier you're in, you're paying into, your audience is paying into, then they get different access to things. So maybe in the $5 level, they get commercial free episodes if you happen to have commercials during your podcast. Maybe at the $10 level, they get access to Q&As, or they get access to asking questions that can go into a Q&A. Maybe at the $15 level, they're actually part of those Q&As. They're actually able to interact live with you during the Q&As. Maybe at the $20 level, they get access to, if you have a vault of content, maybe they have access to all that older stuff. So it just depends on how your podcast is structured, how it's set up, and how you want to put together that those Patreon levels. But those are all different ways that you can monetize while still staying organic within everything that you're doing.
Out of all those monetizations and stuff like that to make money, like I said, the YouTube and all that stuff you just went over now, is there anything that you would suggest as a new podcast person just getting out there?
Probably the affiliate marketing would be the one, just because, and collaborations is another way, probably because if you're just starting out, you don't have a lot for a Patreon or a lot for like the 1,000 subscribers on YouTube or anything like that. You're just starting out. So probably those would be the best ones, because you're swapping with people who are in the same boat you are. So you're both helping each other grow. And that's the podcast community is very much about growth together. So it's very rare to find a podcaster that you'll be like, hey, let's collaborate. And they're like, no, you don't have enough listeners. Like, no, I don't even want to waste my time with you. Most podcasters will be like, yeah, sure. You know, because everybody understands that everybody started somewhere. Everybody started at zero listeners. And so it's hard. It's a hard thing to do, and to stay consistent with it and to not get burnt out with it and overwhelmed and want to quit. Like, and so a lot of the podcast community will say, let me help you so that, you know, I'm a little bit farther along than you are. Let me help you. Let me bring you up with me. And so collaborations is a great way to not only meet other podcasters, but to kind of audience borrow. You know, you're getting your content in front of people that you probably never would have.
And I would like to give a shout out, because actually I would like to say something about that one. Before I even started, the person that made me want to do this, I was listening to her podcast, and I'm like, oh, she has an awesome podcast. Before I even got going, I sent her an email, and I'm like, can you give me a hand with this? I'm like, I really want to collaborate with you, stuff like that. And she already had thousands of listeners. And I want to give her a shout out. It's called, her podcast is Horrifying History by Brenda. Brenda really gave me a chance, and she was on my podcast. She was like one of the first people that I did. And it was awesome, because she could have automatically said no, because she's already an established podcaster. But yet she came right out and, hey, you know, let's do this, you know? And that's the thing. You don't know unless you ask.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. And you're going to get some no's. Like, when you pitch and you want to be on people's podcasts, you're going to get some no's. You're going to get some people that, you know, aren't interested, or maybe, you know, your topic doesn't fit with what they're doing. Like, I do a lot of summits. I do a lot of bundles, you know, where I provide my stuff, my products for free in different bundles. And I've had people who are like, no, your stuff is just, you know, isn't the right fit. And then I've had people who are like, yeah, it's great, let's do it, you know? And so you're always going to have that. You're always going to have places and people that it just doesn't fit. But that doesn't mean give up and stop doing what you're doing. It just means get yourself out there more, and eventually you're going to find the people that want what you have and want to hear what you have. Because one thing I've learned is that it's very selfish of us to not put ourselves out there and not say what we need to say, because we're waiting for someone else to say it. We're like, oh, well, we're not a good speaker and we don't really have anything to say, so someone else is going to say it. Well, you got to remember, there's someone out there who is waiting to hear what you have to say, and no one else is going to get through to them but you. And if you don't go out there and say what you need to say and give your message, they're never going to hear it. And you could have changed someone's life. You know, you could have changed the way someone sees something, the way someone makes a decision, but you weren't willing to go and say what needed to be said, and they never heard it.
I like that point, because if you keep your mouth shut, then somebody that might need to hear that never does. I love that point. I mean, thank you for saying that, because I've been doing this for a long time and nobody's ever said that. And that's kind of something important, because like, there's people out there, and there's people out there that, you know, do need you. And, you know, your voice can actually change somebody's life.
Right. Your voice matters. Your message matters. What you say could be the one thing. And, you know, like I said, I talk a lot about mental health and a lot about mindset, and you never know, you know, someone that could be at the brink of, you know, terrible things can hear your voice, can hear your message, and something sparks something in them where they're like, you know, maybe this isn't what I need to be doing. Maybe this isn't, you know, what I need to be thinking. Maybe I can do something different, you know, or maybe somebody has some negativity, some toxic people in their life, and, you know, they hear your message and they're like, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe I can get out of that relationship, or I can get out of that situation. And, you know, or maybe somebody's thinking, oh man, I really love to do podcasting, but people keep telling me that I don't sound right, or I don't talk right, or I have a lisp, or I say like, or too much, or I'm too loud, or I'm too this. Well, maybe there's somebody out there who's wanting to do it and is waiting to hear someone like them on a podcast, and you're not giving that to them. And so they never, you know, get out there and they never do it because they didn't hear you. Like, someone always has to be first. And, you know, why not us?
I love that point, because there's people out there that say, and I hate this, because they say, I can't, even before they try.
Right.
They never even got off their ass to try it. Mm-hmm. But yet they always say, I can't do it. Nobody's going to want me. Nobody's going to do this. Nobody's going to do that. Well, you know what? Look at the people out there doing it.
Right.
Who aren't perfect.
Yeah. And a lot of things now, like, especially since COVID, a lot of people now are over the embellishment. Like, they're over the perfection. They're over the fake and the plastic and all that. They don't want to hear a perfect podcast. They don't want to hear a perfect message where everything is hunky-dory. Their Instagrams are flawless. There's no mistakes. There's no, you know, everybody now, I'm going to curse. Our shitometer is like super high. We're done with all that. Like, we want authentic, we want real, we want people who we can relate to and we can look at and say, look, we can do that. I can do that. Versus, you know, people who are out there trying to portray a life and a facade that's not really true. You know, people don't want that anymore. People want someone that they can relate to, someone that they can look at and say, in 5 years from now, I can see myself there. In 2 years from now, I can see myself getting over whatever hardship I'm going through now. I read something the other day. A friend of mine posted it on Facebook, and the post said something along the lines of, even our worst days are only 24 hours. And so, like, to be reminded, I mean, because when we see those fake accounts where everything's perfect, you're kind of like, damn, my life sucks because my life isn't like that. But then you realize that nobody's life is like that. Everybody goes through tough times. And so to be able to be vulnerable and see those things in other people helps everyone. And I think that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for perfection. They're looking for real.
Right. And that's one of the things is, I was told that a lot of the social medias out there are the four F's: fun, family, fantasy, and fake. A lot of them mm-hmm. are fake because yeah. they don't have the everyday bullshit that is actually out there. Everybody's out there having vacations. Everybody's out there dealing with this, but they never show what life is really honestly like.
Yeah.
Because even when you do a podcast, I ran into podcasts where I didn't even put them out because they were so bad, but I don't want to put that out there, because not saying my podcast is fake, but it's not good enough. It's, you know, so you got to realize that, you know, what happens in life is different than what happens behind, you know, in front of the screen.
Right. And I mean, even those episodes that you think aren't good enough, You should put those out there because you never know. Those might be the ones that somebody needed to hear. Like, you don't think they're good enough, but they might have something in them that somebody needed to hear, that somebody, like, somebody's waiting for that imperfection to say, hell, like, you know, this guy put this podcast out. And you're thinking in your head, you're like, this was the worst. Like, I can't believe I put that out there. And it can turn out into the best one you've had. I know my coach, she put out one podcast one time and she's like, it was the worst. The sound was awful. You couldn't even hear me half the time. And it was one of her, she's like, it's one of my most popular episodes.
You know, and that's like, I'm not sure if you read Stephen King.
I do. Stephen, I have. Yeah.
Stephen King's, he wrote a book and he didn't like it. He threw it in the garbage and his wife picked it out of the garbage and read the book. And she said, this is the best book you ever, you know, I ever read. And it was his number one bestseller. And that was Carrie. He threw it in the garbage because it wasn't good enough.
For him, right. And it's funny because, like, our mind tells us so many stories about what's good enough and what we should put out there based on our thoughts. And it may not be good enough for us, but it could be the best thing for our audience. You know, it could be something that, because we're not in our audience's heads. We don't know what their life experience is like. We don't know what their thoughts, their feelings. We don't know any of that. And so we're thinking nobody's going to like it based on our perspective. When, if we put it out there, we have to let our audience be adults. We have to let our audience make their own decisions. We can't sit back and try to make decisions for them because we're not them. We don't think like them. They don't think like us. So whenever I feel like something I'm doing isn't good enough, I do this a lot when I'm posting on TikTok. I close my eyes. I record what I need to record and I post it. I don't listen to it again. I don't edit it. I don't do anything. I just post it exactly the way it is. And if it gets traction, great. If it doesn't, the next time I need to say that message, I might tweak it a little bit. I might change it a little bit, but I'm a perfectionist. I'm a type A, always have been. And so for me, it was really hard to take a step back and say, this is what we're posting. This is what we're doing. That's it. I'm not editing. I'm not overdoing it. This is how it's going to go out. And that was really hard, but I had to, otherwise nothing was ever going to get done. I was constantly going to be editing, trying to fix it, trying to make it better based on my view, not thinking about the listener and what they wanted to hear and what they needed to hear.
Okay, what was your first job?
My first job? I worked at Walgreens.
What is your favorite season?
I love winter, but Florida winter, not Connecticut winter, Florida winter.
What's your favorite food?
I love Mexican food.
Who is your hero?
My hero. I'd have to have two. My parents are great influences on my life, both in the faith-filled world, and they've been married for, I don't know, over 40 years. And just a really great example of parents, friends, support, you know, all of the things.
What is your favorite dessert?
Creme brulee.
What time do you wake up?
4:30.
What movie do you quote the most?
Probably Miracle. My son plays hockey, so probably Miracle. But I did quote Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles today.
Are you a night in or are you a night out?
I like nights in, but every once in a while I need to get out. But mostly nights in.
Are you a thinker or are you a doer?
Can I be a thadoer? Can I be a thewer? Or a dink? A dinker?
When you go swimming, do you tiptoe or do you dive in?
I usually tiptoe. I don't like cannonballs or diving in or anything like that.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Bubblegum pop. So like Britney Spears, like the 90s pop, bubblegum pop bands, that kind of thing.
What motivates you?
I am motivated by helping others. I've always been someone who likes to serve, likes to help, regardless of where I'm at. It might be my human design, but yeah, I love guiding people, helping people. That's always been my push.
What is your deepest fear?
My deepest fear is to be forgotten and irrelevant.
How do you want to be remembered?
As someone who genuinely cared about others.
On your gravestone, what is something you want written to remind people of who you were that might not know you?
Huh. I don't know. I've never really thought about this. Probably she was a good wife. She was a good mother. She was a giving person.
What do you care the most about?
My family.
Now, you're saying that your son plays hockey.
He does.
And this is hard getting both of us. We've been trying for weeks to get us together here on this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you had a few different episodes. Your partner went out, hockey. Your son has hockey practice. So,
yeah, he started. I think the first time we had it was his first game. Yeah.
So, family is a big thing to you. So, yeah. I want to kind of hit one thing before we go. It's kind of off the podcast topic. But in family, what is the biggest achievement that you went through so far that you could actually brag about?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for us, the past 9 months have been really rough. Hockey-wise, we went from being in the same group of people for 7 years to actually having to move to a completely different rink with completely different team, different people, different everything. And that was a really, really rough transition for all of us to go from where everybody knew us to where nobody knows us. And as a parent, seeing your child, you know, suffer with the loss of his friends, the grief and all that entails was really hard. And so that whole situation brought us closer as a family. So, you know, we talked about how we felt. We talked about how we were going to deal with the changes. We talked about how we were going to, you know, move into this new direction and what that was going to mean for all of us and what it was going to mean for him. And he was very good. Like, I think his dad and I were a lot angrier about the move because it wasn't our choice. And he was just like, it is what it is. Like, I just, you know, he's 11 and he's like, it is what it is. You know, I can't change it. I can't change people's minds. And I'm just going to go into this new opportunity and show them who I am, show them what I can do, show them, you know, there was a lot of negativity where we were, a lot of toxic, a lot of people talking about him as an 11-year-old, you know, like we're talking about this as adults, people being negative. And this is, you know, adults being negative towards an 11-year-old. And so, you know, he took it in stride and he was like, you know, I don't have anything to prove to anyone. I don't have anything to change about who I am and how I play and what I do. And if they don't like it, then I'll just find people who do. I'll just find people who support me. And he's like, I know who supports me. I know who's got my back. And, you know, that's something I'm really proud of, that I've been able to take the mindset and the things that I've learned and I've passed them on to him, and he's you know, very confident, very strong in his skills, and very strong in who he is as a person, and not letting other people bring him down when, you know, again, jealousy, whatever it is.
I'm sitting here listening to, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about this, saying, you know, this goes back to
really
what,
don't do.
Yeah, like this is going back to what we said before about the naysayers and stuff. Sometimes kids can push us into the mindset that us adults should have. I think that's kind of amazing.
Right, yeah.
That kids can think that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Like, now, the one thing I will say about this woke culture, like they call it, and things like that, is that everyone is focusing so much more on mindset and being able to voice how you're feeling. And like, I know from my husband, you know, they don't ever talk about feelings. Like, I'm Hispanic. We don't talk about feelings. We don't talk about when things go wrong. You just push through. And, you know, that's why so many of us have so much trauma and so much, you know, because we never really dealt with it as kids. And so now all these kids are able to, you know, it's not taboo if you go in for therapy. It's not a problem if you need a mental health day and you need to take a break and you just need to be, you know, quiet for a few hours. You know, none of that is bad. You know, you take care of your mind, you take care of your soul, you take care of who you are as a person, and none of it is bad. Everything helps you in the long run. Like, I know he's got a coach that all he does is talk to him about mindset and how to be resilient and how to go from, you know, when you lose, what do you learn? And that's something my coach tells me too. She says, every single situation, good or bad, you either get the result that you want or you get the lesson that you needed to learn every single time.
And I had a lot of guests on to talk about mindset, so I'm not going to try to go over it, but if you listen to my podcast, you understand how big mindset really is.
Yeah.
Without mindset, you're not going to accomplish anything.
No, you keep going back in circles.
Right. And so I want to thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I want to know, Ileana, if people want to get in touch with you, for either helping out with the podcast, helping out with social media, anything like that. Are you on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, anything like that?
I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I am on TikTok. But all of those links you can find on my website is the easiest place where all the things. I have free resources in there. I have my blog is linked in there. All my socials are in there. You can join my email newsletter. I have all the ways you can work with me, all my services. It's all in my in my website.
And what's your website?
It's www.topshelf services.com.
Okay, and you said there are a few different free resources in there.
Yep, there's a resource page. All those resources are free. My blog is free. That's linked on there. I have paid things in there. All my socials are in there. And you can also book a 15-minute clarity call where my calendar's on there, where you can book that call if you have any questions or if you want to see if we'd be a good fit to work together. And like I said, that's totally free. There's no charge for that call. And all my services are outlined in there as well.
All right, cool. Thank you so much. And again, it's Ileana DeJesus Elliott. I hope I said that right.
That's me. Hey, Ileana, you're good. I know it's a lot of vowels. It's all good. It's all good, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. I'm glad I was here.
I'm always looking for likes, shares, and reviews. Please give it a share and a review. 5 stars really does help. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, refill both of our coffees. See you next week where we can listen once again. please follow us on Saturday Java with Jason on Facebook and Instagram. And please follow me on Facebook at Jason Coffee Man.